Hey everybody, thanks for joining us today on Code Chat. I think you'll notice right away that this does not look like your normal Code Chat. We're in a different studio today, and the reason why is I'm here with Michael Palermo, my good friend and colleague, and we just got done recording 3 days of content for Microsoft Virtual Academy. Microsoft Virtual Academy, in case you don't know, is Microsoft's like online massive training center. It's all like free content. You go to microsoftvirtualacademy.com and you learn all kinds of stuff about all kinds of topics. So you can see it actually if you want at microsoftvirtualacademy.com. But anyway, we just got done recording a course on, what were they? What was the first one?
The first one was the Modern Web Platform. And that was really exciting.
And then the second one was developing universal Windows apps using HTML and JavaScript. So it was pretty cool. It's really exciting because it's like I get to use what I know and love to write an app and hit both Windows and Windows Phone at the same time.
That was very good. So that would also explain, by the way, why we're wearing, we don't normally
are
you
going to
wear purple today? Yeah, we should explain. This was kind of for the show, for the MVA show. We're not shirt buddies like that, so.
And we also don't usually end up just coincidentally in purple.
That's correct. That's right.
That doesn't happen either. So what I decided to do is record a code chat with Michael and just talk a little bit about, generally, about JavaScript and its place in the world and some other related questions. So are you ready for some questions to be fired at you?
Let's rock it.
Okay. First of all, now you are a DX evangelist just like me. But you're in the Arizona area. What do you think of Arizona? What do you think of your area?
Well, I love Arizona. In fact, I would say since my earliest memories are from Arizona, I wasn't born there. I was born in Florida, but I don't remember it because parents moved over to the West Coast. I remember living in Flagstaff, Arizona, which is a really beautiful community up until I was around 10 years old. So, you know, I had snow, had some seasons, and then parents moved to Phoenix. And then for all my high school years and early adult years, I was in Phoenix, moved temporarily to Iowa when I married my wife. And then we moved back over to Phoenix, and I just love it there. I love the heat, too. It's a good thing. And I'll tell you what, moving to other places where there's humidity was a very, it's like, whoa. I'll go back to Phoenix because the humidity.
Any day.
Yeah. So I like it there.
Tell me about the development climate in Arizona.
Touche to that segue. I really enjoy the developer climate in Phoenix. First of all, we have some outstanding developers, top influencers in the Phoenix area. I'd love to shout out a few of that are the MVPs and the RDs out there that I think are just phenomenal. You may have heard of people like Dan Wallin. You may have heard of Scott Kate. You may have heard of Joe Gagliano. I'm saying his name wrong. I just said his name. Joe's going to kick me when he hears this. But he's behind the Desert Code Camps out there, and that's such a big thing out there as well. So I think I had a synaptic connection with his last name. But the bottom line is they're really heavily entrenched. And I also love to see, when I step back and I think about all the different developers that I've interfaced or the groups, I love to see the different types of groups that are out there. We got a strong concentration of enterprise-level developers.
Okay, so that's...
So very strong. Strong web community, a very tight JavaScript community, and we also have a strong iOS community out there too. So, and Android development. So you see all these different type of developers out there, and for the most part, especially at the Desert Code Camps, which I love, is we all get together and it's all good.
Oh, good. Well, can you speak to any trends that you see when you're working with these developers in the enterprise space and any of the other spaces? I mean, I know I've been down there before, and there's some indie as well, and there's some game development. So in working with all these developers, do you see any major trends, what kinds of apps people are writing, or is it still about apps? I mean, I know we're right in the middle of an app revolution, but is there a little bit more balance now? Are people also talking about websites and other?
So from my perspective, you know, yes, there's an app revolution, But I've also felt like, especially with a strong, strong showing of enterprise developers in the Phoenix area, what I would say to that is not everybody's on that app revolution, okay, right? There are the enterprise developers are very committed to what they're doing. They could be doing internal websites. They could be doing internal applications that have nothing to do with apps as we're thinking in terms of apps. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is that I feel like, as much as I said, we all played together when we would go to these different community events, there's still more of a strong line in the sand. Like people used to be that I'm a jack of all trades kind of developer, mm-hmm, but I'm starting to see, no, people are starting to gravitate to what they're doing.
Okay.
I've personally seen that in the Phoenix area. It's not that there's not the jack of all trades, but there's there's more and more people that are kind of sticking to what they're doing. And so there is a pocket of developers in the Phoenix area. And there's even a gentleman in Tucson who's had some very highly top rated apps in the Windows Phone and Windows Store, very well known. But outside of that, I don't see that app revolution taking place just as much as I've seen perhaps in other geos in the U.S. But I think that's about to happen.
I wonder why it might be that folks are a little bit more staunch about what they're using, or at least a little bit more focused. I mean, I wouldn't expect you to know the answer to that, but I don't either.
But with regard to what again?
Well, just the fact that folks are, like you said, tending to stick more to one technology or one platform or one, I don't know, maybe one methodology. People are getting a little bit more siloed in their efforts.
Well, especially if you're an entrepreneur type, it's almost difficult to become everything to everything.
Right.
You have to get, and that's why if I was going to say there's a trend to really be aware of, is the trend that people are gravitating towards the kind of tooling that's going to give them the ability to target multiple things and to mm-hmm. be involved with multiple
yeah.
things. But to be an expert in everything
yeah.
these days, that's too much.
It's hard, and it's getting harder. I mean, there's still, we've had a lot of refinement over the years in the area of computer science and making software, and certainly more things have opened up. We've been able to do more things, but there's still 43 different ways to do whatever it is that you're trying to do, and especially if you're a beginner programmer or a student programmer or whatever, it can be overwhelming. How do I want to do this? Well, there's a lot of ways you could do it, so let's have a discussion about what is good architecture,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not always a science, it's oftentimes an art.
I agree.
What about cloud? Are you seeing a lot of excitement about cloud down there?
It's unbelievable. And in fact, because of the high concentration of enterprise developers that are in the Phoenix area, the one thing I can say is if we mention that there's a cloud event, what I'll notice, even more than the developers, and this is really taking me for surprise, but I see the IT industry really embracing cloud.
Yeah.
But not just that, when I think of all the different dev types, whether you're enterprise dev or you're an open source dev or a JavaScript kind of a guy, all of us recognize the one thing that we all have in common is that the whole world is moving to cloud-based infrastructures in one form or another.
Yeah.
And so everyone's starting to pick, and now they're starting to understand why it's important to make a choice.
Yeah.
I need to be in the cloud. Here's why. Or I need to be involved with the service or something. And then that means if we know other developers are looking for services that are cloud-based, then that yet becomes an opportunity to be in the cloud to provide those services.
Yeah.
So cloud is really, really huge right now.
It seems to me like it's one of those kind of cross-cutting concerns, which means that all of us, whatever language we speak, whether we speak the web platform or a proprietary platform or whatever, like you said, everybody recognizes the strong need for the cloud, and it's going to enable all of our scenarios. So it's kind of an infrastructural underlying support topic that we can all get together and be excited about. We can all get excited about the fact that the cloud is going to make our lives easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so here we are. We just finished a 3-day course on JavaScript.
Yes.
We're obviously both excited about the JavaScript space and these related technologies, the whole web platform. So can you tell me, why is it, do you think, that you are passionate about JavaScript, especially in the space where we're at, where we're at Microsoft and we have available to us a lot of other very strong platforms and very strong languages? Why, especially in this space, are you still excited about JavaScript?
I think what's really interesting about that question is if I just take a moment and pause and think, okay, I'll be starting my 5th year of Microsoft here pretty soon. And so that takes me back and I think, you know what? When I first started, I came on board with Microsoft being a published author in C#. Mm-hmm. I was working for a Microsoft Gold partner, and I was teaching C# hardcore classes. I was fully entrenched in C#. And then almost immediately, I became involved with JavaScript. And mm-hmm. by the way, that wasn't imposed upon me. Mm-hmm. It was a choice.
Yeah.
I wanted to. I would have never dreamed that I would be where I'm at right now in terms of JavaScript being such a big deal. But the reason why I'm so passionate about it is because I just started to identify and just really see that it really does, it's not going away. It's fully entrenched in so many things, and there's more and more things that continue to be built on top of JavaScript. Mm-hmm. I think the initial craze for me was just being so excited about the HTML5 revolution, so yeah. That kind of got me engaged. But then I started realizing JavaScript is a sought-after platform, and I'll tell you another example of this that even relates to the cloud. I see a group in the Phoenix area that are all focused on Node.js, right? And so they need service, but they are focused on the JavaScript. And then they're focused on the JavaScript on the client side as well. And that's working. And there's entire companies that have literally just JavaScript developers working for them. And so I think that means something. It's not just about a native language, per se. Native meaning in terms of, and I know we've had this chat before, but maybe something that's proprietarily compiled to a platform. I'm just talking about just pure JavaScript. It's something that I didn't think I would love writing as much.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I have a similar experience, kind of surprised by the way I enjoy it. So do you feel like, what do you think about JavaScript going forward into the future? Do you feel like it's mature enough the way it is to kind of keep up the pace that it has? Because everybody's excited about it and excitement is growing. Do you feel like JavaScript is mature enough to sustain that?
I think that's a very fascinating question, because the concern that I would have just looking at other things in the past is you get worried sometimes if something does some kind of a real hyper jump into something else. Uh-huh. I think one of the reasons why JavaScript is so successful now is and mature is because it hasn't changed dramatically over the years.
And slowly evolving?
It's slowly evolving, okay. And it's slowly maintaining that momentum. So I think the JavaScript community would love to see some enhancements and changes to certain things that would make our lives better. But then there's also this other side where it's like, but it hasn't changed over much, which means that we know that there's a broad adoption of it. Mm-hmm. And as long as we can maintain that broad adoption of JavaScript, it has a whole bunch of value. So the maturity level and the adoption level is great. But I would like to see if the whole world can just, let's see if we can adopt a change here or two, because I think we're ready for it.
What do you think of ECMAScript 6?
So I haven't really looked into it as much as I know you have. But I think that I like what it represents. I hope, I guess the concern is when I look back on the whole HTML5 revolution, it was fascinating to see everyone embrace it.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone just went after it, right?
Totally.
And yet when XHTML version 2 came out, I don't even know if anyone knows it existed. And yet it was a standard, and people were adopting HTML5 before it was a standard. I don't even know if certain parts of it are even a standard at this time. It could be in recommendation status. There was thoughts that went around to say, well, you don't know if it'll even be a standard until 2016. And yet people were adopting it anyway. Why? Because I think this is the key to the answer to your question. It's all about adoption. Mm-hmm. If people do it, that's what matters. Yeah. They could say, this is XHTML2, and you should do this, and you need to apply this and do this, and everyone's like, whatever. And if we actually applied the rules of XHTML to all the major websites, I think there was some statistic that said pretty much 90-something percent of the web wouldn't work anymore. So you have to stop and think, well, hopefully whatever is introduced is something that will be embraced by the JavaScript community. And also, very importantly, the browsers or whatever is going to be processing that JavaScript. And if that integrates it, then we're good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's quite a interesting topic, just standards in general, because I know that a lot of people are like me in that I get feeling more and more secure as something comes to... the closer something is to a standard, and the further it is from a standard, the more insecure I feel dedicating my valuable time to learning or using it, because if it's not a standard, I don't know how well it's going to be embraced. I don't know about the future of it. And we as developers are protective about, you know, our future software development. I don't want to be working in something and spending my time in it now that's not going to be around tomorrow. But when it's a standard, it feels more like there are more people on board. But like you said, it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg, because the standard takes adoption and adoption takes standards, right?
Well, I guess an analogy I could use for that is the dark side of the force is a standard. It doesn't necessarily mean everyone should embrace it. Right? So just because someone's saying you will do this, that doesn't necessarily mean the community will. And so that's where I'm at. I agree. A standard is the way it should. We should all feel comfortable about it. But I've heard the term, you know, standardization is commoditizing. And that's another thing that's a worry, because you want to innovate too. And innovation usually is ahead of standards.
Of the standards, that's
so
right.
There's the chicken and the egg too.
Yeah. Yeah, you always have to have your futures. Okay, so do you think what we've done at Microsoft, I can't take personal credit, but what we've done at Microsoft is welcomed JavaScript into our platforms and basically said you can not just be in a wrapper, but you can be on the device. You can talk right to the device's core API. And I find that exciting. Do you think that that should be the flavor going forward with the other platforms as well? Or do you think that there's a strong need to maintain proprietary languages on proprietary devices?
And just to make sure I understand, when you say other platforms, you're referring to what?
I'm referring to other operating systems. I'm referring to your iOS, you know, including the phone and the tablet.
Sure.
I'm referring to Android and all the different devices that shows up on. I'm referring to the Windows devices going into the future. And I'm referring to other devices like micro devices, the embedded
Certainly.
Devices, things like that.
Sure. So, you know, a lot of bets have been made. You know, I remember the days when everyone thought that the Java runtime was going to run on everything, and that was the investment.
True,
right?
I remember that too, yeah.
And so having runtimes or some kind of, not add-in, but I forgot what the term I was thinking of, in the browser, whether it was a flash
or an add-in or a plug-in.
A plug-in of some kind, thank you. You know, they thought that was going to be the way it was, and there could be all these net advantages to doing that.
Yeah.
And now we're at a place where your question is, should every single platform embrace JavaScript? And really, that is in comparison to what Microsoft is doing, right? Mm-hmm. Because we have mm-hmm. already done that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my response to that is, I believe every platform is making their own bets. They're taking their own risks, their own chances. They believe that what they're doing is right. Some are very, very tunnel vision focus as to what they're going to do. Some might be much broader in what they're going to be doing. But I feel like I can't speak to what they should be doing, but I can speak to the fact that I absolutely love that Microsoft has embraced JavaScript the way they have, so that we can have those key communications, and that there's so much effort and there's so much going into the perfecting of the processing of the JavaScript to make it so fast and so good and so reliable that it's negligible to you as an end user whether or not you could care less whether that was a C++, a C# or a JavaScript app.
That's right.
It just works.
Yeah, there's something that I like to call the threshold of perception, where if something lands, as far as when you're timing, when you're instrumenting your app, if something lands below the threshold of perception, then nobody knows that it doesn't matter if something takes 15 milliseconds or 1 millisecond, because people aren't going to recognize the difference between those two things.
Absolutely.
And so if JavaScript, which I kind of feel like in many ways it already has, if JavaScript reaches this threshold of perception where it's able to perform below that for users, then it's fine. It's definitely good enough. Now, if it gets into any specialized scenarios, you know, like it's trying to render 1 million frames every millisecond or something like that, then it might not be capable of that. But we don't see that very often.
Mm-mm. Yeah, so I'm happy that our platform is embracing it.
Yeah, me too.
And that makes me excited about it.
I love that all of a sudden these scenarios are available on the phone. I mean, in our course that we were just doing, we had some really fun Cortana scenarios where I asked Cortana to remind me to buy some chocolate for my wife on my way home. And I also asked Cortana a couple of embarrassing questions, and I was able to ask her who I am, and she knows who I am, and a lot of different scenarios that I can do, and I'm hitting Cortana through JavaScript. I'm hitting this API through JavaScript, and I'm hearing constantly. I'm hearing a couple of big trends in Microsoft. One of them is all of this stuff that's being added to Azure. You can hardly keep up with all the services that are being added to Azure. And another one is the number of APIs that are being opened up. I talked with a guy that's working with the OneNote API, and that's super exciting, being able to integrate with OneNote, because OneNote is my brain, being able to integrate with OneNote myself, and being able to integrate with Cortana, and being able to integrate with Office 365, and you know, just the hope that I have as a developer of being able to programmatically utilize all of these things, automate, the ability to automate all of these systems.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
And I think the other thing too, and I should have mentioned this when you were asking about one of the other reasons why I'm passionate about JavaScript, and it really ties into what you're saying too, is here we are using JavaScript. We go back 10 years and we feel like JavaScript, its only place was in a web page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the only way we thought about it. And then it started to emerge a little bit differently, but now here we are, we're writing apps.
Mm-hmm.
And we're calling cool things with it. But at the end of the day, it's still what we use in our websites as well.
Yeah, it's still there.
We still have it there. And I feel that's the thing. That's the catalyst. It's the website through the apps and the ability to know I could focus on JavaScript and potentially have, and here's the big vision, the thing that we're so excited to work towards, the vision of having JavaScript be the core language where I can have not only all of those things written in JavaScript, but if they're all related because they're all part of a suite or a package or general kind of a software thing, I could have a core base that I'm working from and then go ahead and publish and deploy either to my site and have some common ground there all with JavaScript. So for me, that's kind of like, that's the place to be.
That's super cool. Okay, let's get a little bit more personal. I want to ask you what kinds of technologies, personally, you're excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me ask it this way. Let's say you had a big chunk of time where you were going to dedicate this to working with all things digital. What would you choose to work on? Not just learn, but work on. Like, what do you want to create? What are you excited about?
So to appreciate my answer to that, you'd have to understand some of the things I'm passionate about right now. So I love gaming,
mm-hmm.
right? I love JavaScript, and I love to code. I'm a developer. So with that context, I would say I would probably be heavily invested into the Internet of Things
mm-hmm.
and really, really apply some of the ideas I've had for some gaming stuff in that field. I'd love to explore what that would be like. Have some fun ideas there. Fun ideas that would bring people together, fun ideas that could utilize the cloud with the Internet of Things and make games that could be played simultaneously all across the world and also using devices that would be fun. So taking it away from just a screen, right?
Yeah.
But allowing a phone or a screen to just be part of the game.
Yeah, right.
Where there's other things going on that are part of the game. For me, and then engaging that with other people all around the world, I think if I had the time, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I think that it's hard not to get excited about Internet of Things because it's taking this digital world and moving it into real life. And people probably get tired of hearing me say that I think that technology is meaningful whenever it augments real life. And so it's whenever I'm all of a sudden carrying a digital device on my person and it's not interrupting me, but rather it's augmenting my life. That's when it's really valuable. Like right now, it's meaningful for me to get a notification of certain things. That's not an interruption. But oftentimes, digital devices still interrupt me, you know? And I want them to facilitate workflows and life scenarios. I want it to make it easy for me to, well, we're all familiar with being able to just snap a picture and send it to a family member, you know? That immediate task is really fulfilling. And so, yeah, I get really excited about Internet of Things, digital things, you know, that we're wearing or using in our daily life. I get excited about the concept of big data and where it makes sense, being able to store and then retrieve and make meaning out of big data. And I also get really excited about anything that's GIS or location-based, you know? Right. Like I was mentioning in our course, if it's location-based, then inherently it means you're getting out of your office and you're using it out in the trees, you know? You're using it right. in the real world. You're moving around. You're
or
using
among the
your
cactus.
Body. Or among the cactus, whatever must be around you, yeah?
Yeah. By the way, I would have a part two to that answer as well.
Go for it.
I would really like to get involved with the Kinect. And not necessarily for Xbox One, but Kinect for Windows. Mm. I see some compelling things that can be done there too. And it probably would be somewhat related to the first thing.
Yeah, sure.
But I really think that that's powerful. And I would love to see, I would love to innovate with the Kinect. And I'd love to see the community innovate with Kinect because there are so many use cases that I bet you we just haven't even thought of yet.
Yeah.
And the moment that we see it, we're going to think, why didn't I think of that? That's a great idea for Kinect. And I think you almost have to throw yourself into it now so that you can really say, okay, now that I understand it, I think I'm getting more ideas what I can do. I would totally get involved with Kinect.
Yeah. Yeah, that is an exciting technology. And it's neat because it's advancing so much. I mean, I know the first time I looked at Kinect and saw the skeleton output, and then the most recent time that I looked at Kinect and saw the skeleton output, I was like, wow, that's incredible. I mean, it's so much more fine. It's so much more detailed.
Yeah.
Well, hey, this has been a good chat about all things JavaScript and development and Arizona and whatnot. Is there anything else you want to add before we go?
Just thank you very much for having me on the show. This was fun. I feel like it's been just like an hour since we've done something together.
Yeah, it literally was.
It was really fun to do all the courses with you and to be on the show. And I hope that people continue to embrace JavaScript and all the good things that are happening with the apps and that they should be following at Code Foster on Twitter because I have to say to the audience out there, and he doesn't know I'm about to say this, so I'm making him nervous.
Oh, great. I'll edit this
part
out.
I'm telling you right now, I love his blog. And I think his blog should be the most blown up blog because he knows how to communicate in written form. I'm not saying he can't communicate normally, but he knows how to write really well, and he can explain concepts that are difficult in a way that people can really understand. So I tip my hat to you for that.
Thank you.
A quality, that's a feature that I think that I wish more and more people knew like I did, because you're fantastic at your technical content writing.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'll actually have links to both of our blogs show up on the bottom of the screen, and
cool.
As always in Code Chat, I have links to whatever we bring up in the middle of the conversations. So you'll see those pop up. So
Can I, please?
Sure, right here.
So absolutely, if you want to find out more about what I'm up to, please go to Palermo 4. Palermo 4. See it right there? See?
It's actually
I know the
be
magic.
Down.
It's down there?
It's going to be
Palermo
down here.
4. Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. All right, thanks everybody for joining us on Code Chat. We will see you next time.